That's what it says in Timothy. So we have to think about these things and understand them. But it's out of a deep heart of love and concern that we take the chance with our children. We know they may resent us for a while, but I'm telling you, it's still the right thing to do. And if we won't train up a child the right way, first of all, we have to know the right way. And I found that most people don't know the right way these days. They're going all kinds of ways, but the right way. But the right way is the Jesus way. That is Genesis to the maps. That's the right way. Have Bible study with them. Talk to them. Ask them, how was your day? What happened today? What's going on at school? I did everything I could to raise children more than I had. I also did everything I could. I was a chaperone at their dances. I did the funky chicken. No, I didn't do that. But I did dance with them. You remember that, sweetheart? Kelly's the only one that's not laughing right now. But was it embarrassing me being there? She wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't too bad of an embarrassment. People said I had a big red Suburban. And some of Kelly's friends said, well, is your dad in the mafia? I'm in the God mafia, I can tell you that. And I love the Lord, and I know you do. That's why you're here. And if anybody knows exactly when the heat's going to stop, could you let us know right now? Stand up and testify and tell us. Because I don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you this. It was so good to see so many of you working in the church today. Thank you, and God bless. It was a privilege for me to get to pray with you again this afternoon. And it was so good. Everything just went so good today. It was a beautiful day, and people got food. And I think we're going to pass out a little food tonight. Yes, we're going to pass out some food tonight. We've got some good things for you, like we always do. You know, Sherry just mentioned this to me tonight. You've heard Kelly say, we've never run out of food here. We've always got something to get. Why is that? Because we just give it. Freely you have received. Now freely give. And that's what we did. We don't try to qualify people and say, well, what did you do today? What church you go to? Do you go to? We don't ask any of those questions. We just feed the hungry. Why? That's what Jesus did. He didn't ask no questions. He just fed people. He just fed them and fed them and fed them. And the idea of God in food starts in the book of Genesis and goes all through the Bible. That food is, see, God is a provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Jireh, that's what that means. That's the Hebrew. That means God is your provider. And he will provide for you if you'll let him, if you'll meet the requirements. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say tonight? Okay, Millie, I think I know what you're going to say. And I'm going to bring this microphone to know one of these girls are. Where's my girls at? Okay, girls, I want you to kind of be ready. And you, she's got that mic. It's the pink one. Just use that one for her. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. You should have spoke that request into the mic.
I just want to thank everybody for helping us celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary.
Yes.
And many of you worked in the kitchen and preparing the food and blessed us with cards and with gifts. And I just want to extend a thank you and a gratitude to you that blessed us. And, you know, it was very significant to us to let us know that you loved us that much. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I'll second that. We love you. And you know what? We haven't, every marriage is bumpy. But I can tell you this, sir, we can sure help you in marriage. We feel like after 50 years, we've got something to say. All you have to do is ask us. We'd be glad to help you. Anybody else want to say anything at all this evening? I'm here. You know what I love about this night, Wednesday nights, is it's our time to stir up the gifts and for the Holy Spirit to move and move in our lives and try to help us. It's so good to see Carmen here. She's new. She came with Mr. Wonderful over there. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what we call him here, Carmen. We say, Brother Wonderful, would you stand up and Tommy, how you doing? You doing good tonight? Are you catching the healing progressively every day? Good. That is so good. How about you, Melissa? How are you doing? Is there anything we could pray for you? Everything's good. Better, did you say? Good. Good. Jill, anybody? Anybody want to pray for anybody else? Anybody want to say something in the Holy Ghost? Anybody want to move in the Spirit? Boy, I just love. Last week, when I got in the service, I looked back at Brother Larry. The Lord said, well, call him out. He's got something to say. I said, well, Larry, you were here. And now get this here, how this worked. Before Larry got in the building, I think, he said, now Angelo's going to call you up and do what I tell you to do. And you saw how that worked out. He prayed in tongues. I interpreted. And it was a beautiful time in the Lord. And that's what I long for, because if you get used to the presence of the Holy Spirit and the move, you'll understand more about him. Amen? Do I need to be down just a little bit, my voice? Because I'm echoing. I know that. Well, we'll just try that a little longer like that then. You know, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11 in the King James Bible. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7 in the King James Bible. And this is what the word says there. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, look at this next verse. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, I'm going to read that in another translation, and I just want to tell you that I'm going to share with some thoughts tonight on prepare to ask. Prepare to ask. And I'll try to make sense of that. Now, I'm going to read out of this other translation, Matthew, the NLT, chapter 7. And beginning at verse 7, I'm going to read that again. And this is what it says. And keep that, yeah, you've got it up there. It says, keep on asking. Keep on asking. Don't give up on asking. You know, the thing that I've seen over many years since 1971 is people fall by the wayside, and one of the main reasons is because they pray and they don't see any result of their prayer, and they think, well, there's nothing to this. But you got to teach people how to pray. I'm here to teach you what I know. How much do you know? I know some, and I want to share what I know. Keep on asking, okay? Keep on asking until you get a piece about it that God has answered you. That answer could be, no, I'm not going to do that. See, if you seek intensively, you're going to hear something from God, because God is a person. He's real. If you keep on asking, you might find him and say, you know, I'll do that, but I'm not going to do it right now. Or he might say, amen, we're going to do it right now. But anyway, you have to prepare to ask. And that's what these verses are for. That doesn't mean that you don't ask while you're preparing. That means while you're preparing, you ask. That's one of the things you do. And then it says this here, keep on seeking. See, the problem is we have a very, some people have a very, they're just not that interested. They'll throw it out there. I remember one time, a long time ago, I keep remembering this lady. She was standing about over there, and she came up, and I said, well, what do you want? And she told me, and she said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, what did you come up for? She said, well, I just want to see if this is going to work. Well, the Lord told me to go sit down. It doesn't work like that. See, because here's the number one problem, one of the biggest problems I've seen. People stop asking and they lose interest in the church and following God because they don't know the answer. And they don't get the answers and they don't get them right. And nobody explains why. And so let me tell you something here. You have to ask. I'm going to say something to you. You have to learn to ask until you believe what you're asking for. And I promise you, you will not until you believe it. And in the process of asking and seeking and knocking, you will get into faith. And if you'll keep on, it's the, you know what? What are the other things that people these days, any day, things that they like? Well, you know, my church is on Sunday is on the river. I'm a fisherman, and I feel closest to God when I'm fishing. Well, you're not. You're closest to God when you're praying. See, I don't have time to write poetry, but I've only got another 30 minutes. I've got to tell you like it is. I don't have to be mean about it, but I can sure tell you what I know. And the reason I'm still doing this after all these years is because prayer works. And I have to keep on asking on certain things. Well, what would you ask? Well, Lord, why is it? Why am I not hearing you? What's the problem? Tell me. Search me, O God, as David said, and test me and see if there's any wicked way. And is there something that I'm doing that's hindering prayer right now? Show me, Father, and I'll fix it if you'll show me. Or just so many other things. And then it says, keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, are you going to give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people, and let's remember this, we're all born again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God by the way of Adam and Eve in the garden. That's in our DNA. Satan messed that up for mankind. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? I've asked for a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you what happens when you walk with God for a while. A trial will come up that just would have devastated you 5 years ago, but it doesn't do that anymore. Somehow, because the word says in Hebrews chapter 4 to strive to enter into the rest of the Lord, faith. And there's things that's happened to me lately, and all I can tell you is this. I just knew God was going to take care of that. Hallelujah. Somebody hear me tonight. Whatever you're concerned about, if you'll keep asking, if you'll keep seeking, if you'll keep knocking, and then if you'll listen and give God a fair chance, for gosh sakes. You've given some sorry people in your life, just like me, a fair chance, and it didn't work out. Am I telling the truth? Okay. I'm not here to run anybody down, but I'm here to make a point. So, but I found myself lately, because I know this, I know Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you if you'll hold your peace. But as long as you're going to do it and you're going to fix it your way, well, I'm not. That's going to be confusing. I'm just going to stand back until you're ready to let me truly help you. And what happens many times in people's lives as they see him come and go, they don't work it all the way through. They don't give prayer the chance that it takes to understand it. So let's move on to the next place. And I'm sharing a message. You've got to learn how to prepare to ask. You have to ask more than once sometimes. Things happen. And so we're going to turn to John chapter 20 in the NLT, in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to share this with you. This is, we're going to look at Mary Magdalene. Okay, we're in verse 19. I think that's this right here. No, it's supposed to be John chapter 20. I hope that that's what I said. And verse, I'm going to read verse 18. Mary Magdalene found the disciples. This is after the resurrection. And by the way, she was the first one. Mary Magdalene was the first preacher after the resurrection. Don't tell me that God doesn't have a place for women in the ministry. Can you imagine? Oh, I'm wringing your hands. Dear God, I'm in trouble. I started a work for the Lord. Got a bunch of people say, oh, he's sure going to be upset about it. The first preacher after the resurrection was a woman of questionable quality. Mary Magdalene was full of demons. She did things that weren't great, but Jesus reached out to her when he couldn't reach out to the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day. He said, I didn't come for the righteous. I've come for sinners to call them to repentance and to help them and give them hope. Well, I fit in there, and I sure have got to get hope from the Lord. So Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave them this message. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Man, is there a better message that anybody could preach? I have seen the Lord. And so in 19, verse 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord again. See, he told them, look, I'm going to be crucified, but I'm coming back. I'm coming back on the third. He told them, but they couldn't believe that. What would you, you could almost see it in a way. If you're somebody you love said, look, I'm about to die, but I'll be back in 3 days, that might be a little hard to take. But anyhow, verse 21, again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So, verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Doubting Thomas we call him, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound on his side. And let me tell you, that is not faith. Because listen to what Jesus said. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And then Thomas said in verse 28, my Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. But Jesus said to him, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those. Now here it is. This is where we are today. Because see, ain't nobody seen Jesus. You might have had a revelation, a dream about him, but he ain't come back. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's fixing to come back. and nobody can stop him. He's coming back, and there ain't no stopping him. He's coming back right when it's time. Blessed, he said, you believe, Thomas, because you've seen me. You got to put your hand on my side. You got to see the nail prints in my hand. He said, but blessed are those who believe without seeing me. And that's what we have to do. That's what prayer is all about. You have to believe without physically seeing Jesus. Now, I want to share something that I put on my phone. I thought was pretty good about that. This is what it says. Build your faith. Faith never asks for what you cannot believe. I'm telling you, you're not in a good place when you're asking for something that you don't really believe. But your place to get there, keep on asking, seeking and knocking. And God, if you'll seek him right, he'll show you. If you show him that you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, well, he'll get there with you and he'll talk to you. He'll reveal himself to anybody. When Thomas said that he would not believe unless he felt the Lord's wounds, he did not want faith. He wanted certainty. See, we walk by faith, not by certainty. We walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and not by sight. Not by what we can see, hear, feel, taste, or smell. We don't walk by that. We walk by what we believe in our heart. And see, if you ain't got nothing in your heart, that's why you're not getting any prayers. You've got to do something about that. You've got to get, you've got to seek God more than you've sought anything else in this life. He was saying, I will believe it when you prove it to me. But faith isn't certainty. Faith is believing in the face of questions and misgivings. Faith is trust despite doubt. For people to grow in faith, they need the freedom to take tentative steps. Now listen to this. They need to trust that their questions will be met with gentleness. It's when doubt is met with mercy that faith expands. And I'm telling you, that's just the way that God is. You're not, if you're wondering and you don't understand, God loves you anyway. That's not a problem for God. I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. The man that had a son that had problems, demonic problems and seizure problems, he said often he tries to throw my son into the fire to kill him or in the water to drown him. He said, Lord, if you can help me in any way, would you please help me? He said, I can help you. He said, if you believe, I can help you. Now, I don't care what you've got tonight. I don't care how long you've had it. I don't care how big the problem is. I don't care how private it is. God can fix it. But not for people that got better things to do than seek the Lord, and they just give up easy. You know what? You know, there are many, many more businesses, relationships, and going to school that started than finish. That's why Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, better is the end of a thing. See, better is the completion of something. And I'm going to say it, and I hope I'm on being recorded tonight. If you don't have it, it's because you ain't sought it right. You haven't sought it with your whole heart. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says this here. I know the thoughts I've got for you. They're good thoughts. They're good plan for your life. And you have to seek me. And in verse 13, he says, and when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And what that means is until you do, you won't. See, until it becomes so important. How important is that child that you want to see get saved? How important is that healing that you want? Don't be discouraged, because the Lord is kind. The Lord is good. The Lord loves you. So the father of that boy that was so sick, he said, if you can believe it, it'll happen. And he said this here, and I want you to hear this, and I want you to use this in your prayer life. He said, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Everything I've gotten from the Lord in prayer, I've had to get into the right frame, and I had to work at it, and I had to work it through. And many times I didn't get it right away. I had to get it because I sorted it out. I kept asking, and I grew in understanding. You know, you ask and you look for Bible verses that you feel like should fit in there, and you begin to pray those promises from God. Okay? And the way that you grow is by, how do you grow in your faith? Well, you grow by serving. You become a servant. You grow by attending church, and not just like everybody else does, just on Sunday morning. Now, don't get mad at me because I said that. I said it. I'm not backing up from that statement. That's good. You'll get the Sunday morning blessing, which is the best preacher in Logan County. We'll give you that. Now, but you might not get what you want until, see, how much of that heart are you holding back from God? What are you holding back tonight? See, look here. I've stopped preaching and I've gone to meddling. I'm meddling in the Holy Ghost. What is it you're holding back from God? What is it that you won't give God? See, that's the problem. God, my God is not the problem. What are you holding back that you should just freely give him? Every time we take communion, he says, confess to me. Tell me the truth. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of your sins. Well, I'd sure like to get rid of this. Really? Do you really want to? Confess it to the Lord in faith and he's going to clean you up or you won't want to do it anymore. Well, I don't know if I want to do it. I might just hold back a while, partake of that sin a little longer. It hasn't destroyed me enough yet. Can I get an amen for the truth? Okay. Now hear me, because I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to help you up to say to yourself, now look, don't think God's got a problem. See, it ain't God that's got a problem. It's us. How often? Always. Because you know what? God will answer every prayer that you pray. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it from him. He said, no, I'm not taking it from you. So he said, well, then I'm going to glory in that thorn in my flesh. God's got a reason for it. And Moses sought over and over that he could cross over to the promised land. And the Lord said, no, you weren't supposed to beat that rock. That rock was my son, Jesus. You were supposed to talk to that rock, Moses. And though he loved Moses and Moses gave his life, Moses did not go cross that Jordan. He did not go into the promised land. Now, we want to go into the promised land, and there is no reason why we cannot get every one of our prayers answered. God wants to answer every one of your prayers, every one of you. And you get closer to God by fellowshipping with Christians, by studying the Word, by praying the promises of the Word. You get closer to the Lord by testifying. You know that testifying is a form of worship? When you testify about how good God is, you're worshiping God. And you know what? Most of everybody in this room, when we hear a good testimony, we love that. We love, see, you're blessing somebody else. See, that's where you get, when you start doing things like that habitually, consistently, you're going to start seeing more prayers answered in your life. Amen? Get closer to God, get more prayer as you take communion. Because let me tell you, communion is a time to really be serious with your walk. Here's what the Lord says. If you won't get serious, that's, people get sick, they fail, some of them even die. Because the thing is, what you want to do, you want to get real with the Lord during communion. You want to get real with him. And because if you don't, then God has to correct you. And God doesn't want to have to correct you. See, what parent loves to correct their kid? I corrected my kids a lot. I didn't like any of it. But I did what I thought I had to do. Was you right all the time? Nope. But you know what? Bless God. By the grace of God, I am who I am, and I am what I am. And I tried my best, okay, to raise children in such a way. And they all have the imprint. All my children have the imprint of God on their life. Just not long ago this morning, Evan is with us now. We love having him back. And he prayed what Millie and I pray. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He prayed that same prayer. Now, what do you think is going to happen to somebody that'll pray like that? Pray the last words that Jesus said on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You do with me what you want. I trust you that much. whatever is, if it's my time to, like Brother Dan used to sing, when your time has come to go, will your robe be white as snow? Are you walking and talking with the Lord? Will he take you by the hand and lead you to that promised land? Are you walking and talking with the Lord? Let me tell you something. With all these idiots that we talk to, we can sure talk to the Maker some and get something out of it and grow. And as I said, you'll grow by listening to faith messages on TV, on media, reading books about faith. You know who's got a great book is Dodie Osteen. She was diagnosed with metastatic cancer, and she had to die. In about 1984, 85, she had to die. She's still alive today. Why? Because she did what the... She's kept on asking. And you know what? She began to write people that she thought that was odds with, and she said, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I'm not going to worry about who was right or who was wrong. And she began to make peace with mankind. And she began to read that Bible more and more. And she began to confess and speak those promises out loud. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Away with this stuff. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what needs to be in your heart. That's what needs to be your North Star. That is what needs to be what you're following, not the whims of this or that or the other, what somebody thinks or that. I'm going to tell you what, I had an opportunity here in 2020, something like that, to just sit there and let the doctors take all my insurance money and scare me to death and do everything. You know what I did? I stopped. I just stopped. I had enough. Then the Lord said, that's enough, Angelo. You're healed. I still could hardly get up them steps. I can sure get up them now. I'll tell you what else I can do. I can sure come to that old rugged cross and get on my knees every day and thank him because he's helped me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, cause these people, cause circumstances in these people's lives where they can understand this message, where they can grow, Father, where they can please you and where they can get what they need, Father. See, that's what the Lord wants to do. He loves you. The last place I'm going to go this evening is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 in the New Living Translation. And this is what the Lord is saying to you tonight. And I wanted it in the New Living Translation so you can see. He's saying this in the kindest way that he can say it, as he says to us, as he says to you and me, come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. Now, how many of you in the last month you've carried a heavy burden at least once? Let me see your hands and see the truth. Okay. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. Forget the banker. Put Jesus before the banker. Put Jesus before the doctor. Put Jesus before all the know-it-alls in this world, because ain't nobody knows it like Jesus knows it. Amen. That girl's alive today because of what she believes in her heart. And I've seen her go through more trials, house burned down, this happened, that happened. You know what she did? She didn't give up and boo-hoo around. She could have boo herself into the dadgum cemetery down the road here if she wanted to. But you know what? She'd know. The God that I know is better than that. Because, yeah, we had a fire in our house. But in that fire, I had some anointing cloths and a little plastic bag. And everything around that burned up. But not them anointing cloths. Why? Because they're anointed by God. Because God is real. See, I like that. God is not dead. That's what Mary Magdalene said. The first message was ever preached was preached by a woman. And she said, look here, I got some good news for you. Jesus ain't dead. He ain't in here. He's alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? And that's a good question for us today. He ain't dead. And we don't need to act like he's dead. Amen? Come to me, all of you that are weary and carry heavy burdens. See, if that's you, you're just what he's looking for. That's all of us. We go through this life. This life isn't easy. I don't think that's a truthful statement. This life is not easy for anybody. I don't care how much money or prestige or anything you have or how little you have. It's just not easy. There's things that happen, you know, dear Lord, and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Whatever you're going through here tonight, God wants to give you rest. He wants you to give you a peace about it. He wants you to know that he's working on it. He wants you to know he has the power to fix it. Just meet the requirement. Take my yoke upon you. Listen to this. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. The true Jesus is not some preacher looking down at you like you're stupid and he's so smart. That's not the real Jesus. The real Jesus is, I know how it's hard for you. I lived as a person and died as a person. And I love you. And I care for you. And take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. How many of you will let the Lord teach you? Will you let him teach you? That's what you want to do. You want to let the Lord teach you, because he's got great, great things for you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now that's the word for tonight. I have notes. Is that being recorded tonight? So you can get that message if you want. If there's anything we can do to help you, we'll be glad to help you. That's what we're here for. I was so happy. My daughter said I was trying to get out of here this morning to get out of everybody's way. They unloaded my truck. It was full of 4 pallets of food. And she said, Dad, come over here and pray. And I hadn't prayed for about 6 weeks. And I said, I'm so happy to pray for you. You people are the salt of the earth. And to do for others, you're feeding poor people. How many of you, I hope you realize this, some of those people that are coming through our food lines really need it. Number two, Sherry just confirmed it again from tonight. We have never run out of food. We always got something to give. Let me tell you something. Amen. Amen. And let me say something to you. Don't you sit there and think that you don't have anything to give, because you do. The most important thing that you have is God just wants you. He just wants to know you. He just wants to teach you how to be successful. Let's make an altar or come to the altar. Let's get ready to take communion like the word says. Let a person examine himself, then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let's do that right now.